Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm with a live link at thetrumpet.com. What is a real Christian in the sight of God? What is a real Christian in the sight of God? That's a great question, and one that we certainly must answer. And the Bible gives us the answer to this question. There could be a lot of opinion about the answer, but thankfully the Bible gives us a clear answer that we can look at. And it's in Romans 8. If you have a Bible handy, please get it out if you'd like to, and we could look at these passages together and see what God's Word says on this topic. Romans 8 and verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Now, that's the way that people just naturally think, carnally minded. "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Again, talking about the mindset, somebody that has a carnal mind, they can't please God. They're just going a different direction. Verse 9, it says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Incredible Human Potential, which is a free book at thetrumpet.com, he wrote, "A Christian, then, is one who has received and in whose mind dwells the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, he is not Christ, not a Christian." So that's the simple Bible definition right there. Further, he writes, "Millions may profess to be Christians, but unless God's Spirit, given as his gift by grace, is at the moment dwelling in them, they are not Christians. Millions may have their names written in church membership books and still be none of his, not really Christians at all. And millions are so deceived." And then he gives Revelation 12 and verse 9 as a reference. Satan has deceived the whole world. He says, "So understand this. A person is a Christian in God's sight," and that's the important thing. It's not a Christian in their own minds or in their own thinking. It's in God's sight, "only while God's Holy Spirit is dwelling in him, not before and not after." I'll read that again. He says, "A person is a Christian in God's sight only while God's Holy Spirit is dwelling in him, not before and not after. So a truly converted person has received and currently has God's Holy Spirit dwelling within him." That's pretty astounding, but that's the biblical definition. Now, people might look at that and say, "Oh, yeah, that sounds right, and I have God's Spirit, and so that's good." But many people think they do, and they really don't. A person with God's Spirit's going to be growing, they're going to be developing, and God's going to be leading them. Notice Luke 19. This is a great passage here, Jesus Christ giving a parable and explaining what a true Christian will do. What will they be doing? Luke 19, it's a longer passage, but we'll look at the whole thing because it's so valuable. And we'll look at verses 11 through 27. And it says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable." This is Jesus Christ speaking a parable. "Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." So this gives us the context. He was showing them that God's kingdom would not be established until he returned to this earth. And then he would rule with the government of God. The kingdom of God would be ruling at that time. So he's telling them about this future. even though, of course, a lot of them didn't understand what he was saying at the time. But so he's talking about the kingdom of God. Notice verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now these pounds here, this is representative of God's Holy Spirit. He called his 10 servants. He gave each one of them a pound. It was a starting point, a beginning, and they had to be called. Then they had to repent and be baptized and have hands laid on them by God's true ministry, be baptized and receive a portion of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 14, his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, this is talking about the return of Jesus Christ, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So again, they received a portion of the Holy Spirit. And then at Christ's return, he wanted to see, well, what did they do with it? And this is going to happen. Jesus Christ will return, and he's going to want to see what people have done with the Holy Spirit. And there's very few that have received it. Remember, the whole world is deceived. Revelation 12 and verse 9 talks about that. Satan's deceived the whole world. There's very few called today. Eventually, the whole world will be called, but just a few today. And Jesus Christ is going to come back and say, okay, well, what did you do with the Holy Spirit? How did you use it? Verse 16, then came the first saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have you authority over 10 cities? So this first servant, this Christian, this true Christian who had God's Holy Spirit dwelling in him, he used it and used it effectively and took that 1 pound and turned it into 10 pounds. He produced fruits. And Christ said, well, you did such a great job with that. You've shown me that you can have rulership over 10 cities. This person was growing, producing more of the fruits of God's Spirit, having the mind of Christ in him, and had a lot of growth. Verse 18, and the second came saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be you also over 5 cities. So again, you can see there's a reward here according to works. Depending on what they did, there was a certain reward given. Verse 20, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here's your pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You take up that you lay not down, and reap that you did not sow. Verse 22, and he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gave not you my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? You know, this servant didn't do anything with God's Spirit, didn't grow, didn't produce fruits of the Spirit, and had an attitude about it. You can see that by saying to Christ, you know, well, you were pretty tough and it was pretty hard and, you know, didn't have the best attitude there. And Christ said, well, you could have at least put it in the bank and got a little interest back, done something to increase it, even if it was just a little bit. But this person didn't use it. Verse 24, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, well, Lord, he has 10 pounds. You know, people thought, well, I mean, he already has 10. Why would he get another one? Well, just think about it from your standpoint, right? If you were somebody that was giving out a small amount of money and you wanted people to have a return on investment and one person didn't do anything with it, what would you do? You take it and say, well, give it to the person that really knows how to use this and produce fruit, because they'll turn it into another 10, right? That's growth. That's development. That's what's wanted. That person had the type of an attitude, the one that, you know, took the one and turned it into 10, where they really wanted to use God's Spirit effectively. They wanted to obey God. They did. They were active in doing so, and they grew. Verse 26, for I say unto you that unto every one which has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. You know, if a person just doesn't grow, they don't use God's Spirit, then it's taken away eventually. Verse 27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. And there are some that are just, you know, flat out rebellious. And others that didn't grow, and then some that grew a lot. Each Christian is expected to grow spiritually. In spiritual knowledge and grace, you can see 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. That's what God expects a true Christian to do, to grow. They're expected to grow spiritually in spiritual knowledge and grace, to use God's Spirit effectively, and to grow and to develop. Mr. Armstrong, again, from The Incredible Human Potential. He says, in this parable, the first came to report that he had multiplied what he had been given 10 times. You see, the receiving of God's Spirit is God's gift. That is what God does. It comes by grace as a gift. You know, none of those servants earned that pound. Nobody can earn God's Spirit. It's given as a gift. It's God's grace. A person has to accept it, and then they have to use it. God's Spirit is God's gift. That is what God does. It comes by grace as a gift. We can't earn it. But all through the New Testament, it is made plain we shall be rewarded according to our works. Not saved by works. Not saved by them, but rewarded according to them. That's exactly what we just read here in the parable of the pounds. Mr. Armstrong says this man had, by his own application, by using God's Spirit, by his own application, multiplied his spiritual gift 10 times. His 1 pound was now 10 pounds. He received a greater reward than the one who gained 5 pounds. The nobleman, Christ, said to him, well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have you authority over 10 cities? He had qualified to rule. He had been obedient to God's commands, God's government, and we have to be ruled before we can learn to rule. See, there's some real specifics in what a true Christian will do. As is pointed out, they will be obedient to God's commands. They will follow God's government. And there's no way that God's going to give rulership to a person who won't be ruled themselves. There's a lesson here in obedience and in government, of course. Mr. Armstrong writes, the second servant had increased his spiritual stock of goods 5 times. He had qualified in this life for half as much as the first servant. He was given half the reward. So you can see that there's rewards that are given. And again, this is talking about a true Christian. A true Christian, one who has received and in whose mind dwells the Holy Spirit of God. And then that Christian goes forward and uses God's Spirit, uses it. They have to have God's Spirit. That's what a true Christian is. And then what do they do with that Spirit? Well, they're obedient to God's commands and government, and they're growing in character. They're growing in character. Let's see that by turning over to 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, we referenced it earlier, but again, it shows us what we are to be doing. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what a true Christian is to be doing. It is so vital and so important that that is what happens. And as we see here from the parable of the pounds in Luke 19, there has to be growth. There has to be development. A person must take that gift of the Holy Spirit given by God and then use it and then grow and develop more of the fruits and more of the character of God and take on that mind of Jesus Christ. A true Christian, then, is one who has received and in whose mind dwells the Holy Spirit of God. And they're going to be using that Spirit to be growing and preparing for their future reward in the kingdom of God. If you'd like to read more about this, please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course that gets into the plan of God and shows you the functioning of God's Holy Spirit and how important and vital that is. And also the book that I've been talking about today, The Incredible Human Potential. All of it's free and it's at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.